Hard to believe, Michael Jordan, 58 years old. A little birthday celebration today. Just want to talk about MJ for 10 minutes. I hope you'll enjoy it. I've picked out some of my favorite Jordan moments. We'll bring those to you. Happy birthday to Michael, 58 years young, to the greatest player to ever play anything. The Windy City Podcast, it starts right now.
Showtime.
Picked out an old one for the starting lineup. You know what? Michael Jordan, he was my childhood, at least the fun part of my childhood. Anything that was bad that was going on in my life at that point, and there was a bunch of stuff. I lost my mom at a young age. She had cancer and passed away in 1987. So, and I was a young eighth grade kid. I'm talking over the emotions of that right now, but it sucked, but having Jordan around to distract me had its benefits. So a lot of my Michael memories, the best parts of it are tied into the early years. His rookie season, going to the first ever Jordan home playoff game. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks, who were a really good team at the time. It was the only game they won in the series, and we're walking out of old Chicago Stadium, and I remember people screaming, we're going to beat them in game four, and then we're going to go up to Milwaukee and win game five. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think that's really going to happen. The Bulls aren't good enough. And, of course, they lost game four, and that was the end of the rookie season. 38 wins with Orlando Woolridge, RIP, Quentin Daly, RIP. Hugely talented team, but did not have anywhere close to the mental capacity to get it done. And then Jordan breaks his foot in year two, goes on to fight with Bulls management, comes back, scores 63 points in the Garden. They should have won game two of that series. He actually missed a jumper from the left wing that would have gave him the win in overtime, but didn't win a game in the series. The highlight of that 63-point game, though, was Kevin McHale fouling him on a three-point shot, and he had to make two free throws to send it into overtime. He's standing alone at the foul line by himself, and he buries both of them with a huge fist pump. It's like, this guy is just money. When it's not only is he the most talented, not only is he the most gifted, not only is he the most competitive, but he's also the most clutch, which is some of the highlights that I brought in tonight. But before we get to that, reminder, the Windy City Podcast brought to you by Manscaped. Check out the 2021 Lawnmower 3.0 Perfect Package. This thing is sweet. I just got hooked up by Manscaped with a bunch of tools and formulations. It's the Perfect Package 3.0 kit. It's got the best ball hair trimmer ever, honestly. The Lawnmower 3.0, you should check it out. It's the third generation trimmer. It features the cutting edge ceramic blade. It reduces any those nightmare grooming accidents that you don't want. This is all thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, which makes you feel so good. I'm loving this. This was an amazing package to get in the mail. You can get yourself one. You get 20% off, too. 20% off plus free shipping. Use the code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20. You go to manscaped.com, put in that FANSIDED20, and you get the Lawnmower 3.0. You're going to be really happy that you did this. It's got the LED lights. So you can see what you're doing. It's waterproof. You want to make it happen in the shower, which is a beautiful place to do it. However you're doing your grooming situation. Fansided, you get 20% off free shipping. Fansided20, manscaped.com. So year two, they're playing the New York Knicks. It's November. It's an early season game. Bulls are down in the fourth. Jordan scores 18 in a row and then does this.
The Bulls get it in play to Michael Jordan. No timeout. Michael into the front court. Left corner shot by Jordan. Good! And I believe it might be an NBA record.
Yeah, I don't know if it was an NBA record or not, and I'm not going to look it up. But and I let the reaction in the stadium play because it was year three, and there wasn't immediately a standard song that they were going to. Calling out around the world, are you ready for a brand new feat? Summer's here, the time is right for dancing in the streets. Like, that would never happen nowadays. They would have the queued up, and then the T-shirt people would be coming out there, and they'd be playing whatever they'd be playing. This was, like, just organic Tommy Edwards, PA guy, like, play dancing in the streets. And people, like, didn't know what to do. This guy was so ridiculously good that, you know, dancing in the streets, dancing in the aisles, dancing in the stadium. And beating the New York Knicks on a Tuesday night in November, and Jordan scoring 40, and he scores the final 18 points of the game, and it's a ridiculous shot from the left corner with three guys draped on him to win the ball game. It was so fun. Like, you knew in the fourth quarter, if the Bulls were down, that he was going to bring you back. Jordan was just going to do it. Happy birthday to Mike, 58 years old. I pulled out another one. They were trailing the Milwaukee Bucks all night long, and they came on back.
Pressey looks to bring it in. He comes in. It throws it away. The Bulls have it. Here comes Michael Jordan on the drive. 5 seconds. Jordan on the drive. Right of the lane. 18. Third.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Now, that game winner caused a major uproar in my household. We didn't have cable at the time. I was listening on the radio, and then I'm searching 2, 5, and 7, trying to figure out who's doing the Bulls and who's starting first. I believe, if I remember correctly, Channel 5 Sports would always start first. Tom Scher, Mark Giangreco back at the time. And then I'd go to 7 with Tim Weigel, Jim Rose, and then Johnny Morris would do 2 last. So I would try to get the Bulls highlights on 5, flip to the Bulls highlights on 7, flip to the Bulls on 2, and then try to get the locker room and whatever was the coverage. And after that game winner, I just demanded, look, we have to have cable. I can't be missing these games. And I was such a terrible student that they were like, hey, you're in schoolwork. I'm like, listen, nothing good is happening to me at school. I'm all messed up. Just get the Bulls in here. And they finally caved in, and we had cable, and I was fortunate enough that my family had partial season tickets and all sorts of things that allowed me to see Jordan up close and personal way more than I should have ever been allowed, and I was really, 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 really lucky. When I look back at, like, the great Jordan moments, those are them. Jim Durham, Johnny Red Kerr, the Bulls are climbing. It's not they're the best team in the NBA, and you always know that Michael's going to win. People forget, Street and Smith's put out a magazine cover, Who's the Greatest? Bird's standing, Jordan's looking up, and Magic's kind of kneeling. And I think Bird was one. Jordan, I think, was either – he was definitely not one. Maybe was two, but could have been three. And I'm sitting there, are you watching Jordan play every night? Clearly you're not, because this guy's the greatest player to ever play the game, period, end of story. But until he won, he wasn't getting that level of acclaim. It's like, he's just a scorer, it's not going to happen. And then he would just do incredible, ridiculous, preposterous things like scoring 37 points a game and 200 steals and 100 blocks and hitting game winners against Milwaukee. And then, of course, the playoffs would come along. 1989, that was really the demarcation point of he's hitting a game winner against Cleveland, the shot.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Set the Cleveland Cavaliers! Michael Jordan hits it at the foul line. 1-100, 20,273 in stunned silence here in the Coliseum. Michael Jordan with 44 points in a game hit the shot over Craig Elo. What tremendous heroics we have had in game five.
And then in game three of the Eastern Conference Finals, he puts the Bulls up 2-1.
Remember, NBA game, you cannot throw the ball in the backcourt. And because of the size of these guys, they cut down the passing angles.
Pippen finds Jordan.
There it is.
Rodman is on him, one-on-one. 5 seconds to go. Jordan off the glass. Yes! 3 seconds to go, and Detroit has one more chance at it.
Dennis Rodman guarding him, Isaiah coming over to help, Bill Laimbeer spiking down the basketball, John Sally. The Pistons were the only team in his way at that point. And of course, they lost in 6 games that year, 7 games the next year, and then finally got through. Detroit, they are an underrated in the history of the NBA team. Detroit should have beaten Boston the year that Isaiah threw it away to Bird, where he fed DJ for the layup. They should have won the championship that year. The next year, they lost to the Lakers in the finals when Laimbeer was called for a foul on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that should not have been called. Laimbeer, of course, earned the reputation. But the Pistons really should have won 4 championships in a row and not 2. And they were the only team that could beat Michael in the playoffs because they were just so stacked defensively and made it so hard. And that's even before Scottie Pippen became Scottie Pippen. As great as the championship years were, the ride up was the greatest. I can remember Game 6 in 1990, the last year that they lost to Detroit. Craig Hodges went bananas in Game 6 at home. I think he had 19 or whatever it was. He had like 6 threes, maybe 21. And the Bulls killed him. And I remember standing there in the stadium like, are they going to win Game 7? Yeah, I think they're going to do it. And my brothers were there, and I think they're going to do it. I'm like, I don't know. And then Scottie had the migraine, and they lost. And then, of course, Michael said, we're never going to have this happen again. The Bulls went in the offseason, and guys got better and better, and Pippen kept on coming. And Jordan, I always prefer Michael and the pure just speed and athleticism of young Jordan, but those 90s years where he was combining both the physical and utter domination along with getting stronger and then the mental side all coming together, pretty hard to argue that that Jordan, say, in the 91 finals was not the most complete Jordan player. I still prefer the younger one that could jump through the gym-winning slam dunk contest and had endless, boundless energy, but that 91 Jordan who had the physique as well, pretty damn good. Michael Jordan, 58 years old. The championship runs were phenomenal. Of course, 1992, Game 6 against Portland, down 15 in the fourth quarter. The first time they won it at home. That was the greatest night of my sports life. And I had the fortune of being in Cleveland in 2016 to see the Cubs win in 7. professionally, that was greater because obviously I was working and all that type of stuff. But as a pure fan, standing on seats 18 and 19 in Section C, Aisle 3, Row H at Old Chicago Stadium, and my brother saying, let's go home, because he didn't think they were going to come out and celebrate. I'm saying, we're not leaving. They're coming out. And the Bulls come out and dance on the scorer's table. And it was, there was a community to that team. I'd really love to hear from people, by the way. Who's listening to the Windy City Podcast? Hit me up at the Carm. If you were in the stadium that night or just enjoying the stories, I appreciate it. Just would love to hear what's resonating from you when I talk Michael. Because I would not be doing what I'm doing in the business had it not been for my love of Jordan. Like, that's really, like, coming out of college, University of Iowa, 1996, the one thing I wanted to do was to get in the locker room and be able to interview Jordan. It wasn't to be a talk show host. It wasn't to be a play-by-play guy. I was just, how do I get closer to Michael? And that's kind of pathetic on some level. Like, shouldn't you be thinking about a career other than, like, being the mascot to see Mike? But that was a huge motivator. I wanted to be in the locker room, talk to Jordan, which I got to do in the last season of his Bulls 1998, winning the championship, and got to cover pretty much all the home games that year. And even when he was a Wizard, I would travel to see him, you know, with a credential. And I remember him hitting a game winner in Cleveland, of all places. How did he, you know, continue to do it as a Wizard, hitting game winners against the Cavs? But there he was, hitting game winners and getting into the locker room and talking to him after a insane Washington Wizards win. But it's just, you know, time marches on. You're 58 years old. 58. And I saw on Twitter today some people saying, could Michael score 10 a game at 58? I love the question. I do wonder, prime Jordan with these rules, what does it look like? I'm sure he'd average whatever. He averaged 37 back in 87. So what's he averaging, 45? I don't know. And he would have, if the way they prioritize the three-point shot now, he would have honed in on it and he would have mastered that too. So maybe he would have scored 50 a night. I don't know. But I'm glad, obviously, he played in the era that he played in when it was physical. The Pistons, the Knicks, even Utah. John Stockton was a dude. Physical, hardcore, body you up. Great, 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 great competition. All right. It's my Michael soliloquy on his birthday. Thank you for indulging me today. Next year for Jordan's 59th, we're going to celebrate the 59 points he scored in the Pontiac Silverdome. I'm going to get Sam Smith on here to do a deep dive on 59 in the Silverdome, 21 of 27. Happy birthday, Michael, Jeffrey, Jordan. We'll see you next time on the Windy City Podcast.
Just wanted to ask you something. There was the article in USA Today that ran today. You told Jerry right away about the DUI situation, but then he didn't tell anybody else. Is that correct? And at any point, were you...
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
Well, first of all, I have not read the article. I heard about it. I haven't read it. So you may have to repeat what you just said about the DUI.
It said that when the interview process began, you told Jerry Reinsdorf right away about it, but that he didn't tell anybody about it.
I don't know, but I didn't know. I couldn't have said that because I didn't know. You know, I'm sure Jerry must have told Rick and Kenny.
Okay.